Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. It's Thursday the 4th of August, 2011. In the Northwest London Christian Church, we're preaching through the Psalms of Ascent. That's numbers 120 to 134. I can't cover all the details in those sermons, of course, so these podcasts are giving a bit more information. And today we're in Psalm 132, verse 6. It reads, "We heard it in Ephrathah. We came upon it in the fields of Jar." Now, my goodness, what have Ephrathah and Jar got to do with anything? Here it's right in the middle of a psalm about David, his oath to build a temple, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. Of course, David didn't build it. It was Solomon in the end. But the psalmist says, well, we heard of this in Ephrathah. We came upon it in the fields of Jar. What are these places and what are their significance? Well, Ephrathah, very important place associated with Bethlehem in Genesis 35:16. It's the place where Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. It says there was still some distance from Ephrath, which is near Bethel. So connected. Ruth chapter 4, verse 11. May you have standing, they're saying to Ruth, in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. These two places are closely connected. They're identified with the line of David and the line of Jesus. Several passages also talk about it as being the home territory of David. And it is also connected with the promise of a Messiah. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. You, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Quoted in Matthew chapter 2, verses 3 to 7, when the chief priest, teachers of the law, tell Herod that this is the place where the Christ is to be born. So connected with David, connected with Messiah, a promised one to come. Jar, what about that? Well, it's an abbreviation for Kiriath Jearim, 1 Samuel 7, verses 1 and 2. The men of that place came to take up the ark of the Lord. They took it to Abinadab's house, consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the ark, and for 20 years it remained there. All the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. It's where the ark was housed while it was lost. Jar means wood or thicket, which draws attention to the incongruity of the ark being lost there. It's like it was lost in a wood. Someone might say, "Where is the ark?" And somebody else would reply, "It's somewhere in the woods." But even there, it had an impact, as Samuel led the people in repentance that resulted in the Philistines being defeated. You can read that in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 3 to 14. It had been neglected, the ark, in this place, in Jar. 1 Chronicles 13, verse 3, "But let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we did not inquire of it during the reign of Saul." And indeed, have a look at 1 Chronicles 13, a very inspiring passage about David's heart to bring the ark back, to give God honor and his own dancing and celebration of the people of Israel. And also some soberness, as we see that Uzzah was punished for touching the ark, and many things going on there that are very instructive. But this is the significance of Ephrathah and of Jar, two places of fame. They symbolized the line of David, more importantly, the home of a future, or the hope rather, of a future Messiah king, and connected that with the presence of God. First the ark, now in this psalm, the thought of the temple, and in future the Messiah who was to bring us into the presence of God personally. These places tell the psalmist and those singing the psalm to remember God's promises, to remember his presence. It's building excitement as the pilgrims march on toward Jerusalem and anticipate standing in the temple to celebrate and to sing together about the fact that God has promised to be with his chosen people now and forever. It reminds me that we as Christians must not forget significant places like Gethsemane, like Calvary. Do we think about the names of those places enough? I love the song, "Lead Me to Calvary." "King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorny crown, lead me to Calvary." And the chorus goes, "Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony. Lest I forget, O Lord, thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary." Let's not forget these important places and that take us back to the heart of God. Next time, we'll go on to verse 7. If you'd like to know more about our church work, have a look at www.nwlcc.org. And if you can, go to iTunes and give us a review. Until the next time, I hope you have a wonderful day and God bless.